Brother Billy, there's a lot of preachers, but there's very few preachers. And Brother Billy is a preacher's preacher. He reminds me of Brother Mays Jackson. When Brother Mays come to preach, all the preachers showed up. Brother Harold Seitler. When Harold Seitler come to preach, all the preachers showed up. Because he's just a preacher's preacher. And I appreciate Brother Billy. And I appreciate this church. All the food and fellowship. And my wife looked forward every year to coming here. She's on a walker, can't get around good. And it's been 62 years, Billy, instead of 64. But anyway, that's all right. And she's here tonight. My oldest son brought her down this evening. And she looked forward to the barbecue and chicken and ice cream and all that. And she loves you ladies in the church. Y'all just make a fuss over, and that just does her good. Amen. I appreciate the church, appreciate the people. God gave us 6 children. All 6 have been saved. I claim the promise in Acts 16:32, where it said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It doesn't stop there. And thy house. Amen. Claimed it, and all my children have been saved. My oldest daughter, she married a preacher, but she's in heaven tonight. I preached at her after she died. I pulled a sheet up over at Duke Medical Center and went to my church, and it was on Sunday evening, late, and I turned to Psalm 116, verse 15, and preached, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious. It's precious. Amen. Now, I can go on and on, but I want to get to the message tonight. I appreciate my oldest son here and my daughter from Mebane, and she's a nurse, and also her daughter. And I appreciate all my children. Got so many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I can't keep up with them. Me and my wife, we always send them a little check when they have a birthday. It's about to break us up now, amen. But I love them, amen. I was in Oklahoma preaching for Dr. Wade Jernigan. He used to be my running buddy. We went from the East Coast to the West Coast together. He founded a Bible college in Fresno, California, and he was also an instrumental in starting the church at Hillsdale there in Moore, Oklahoma, and taught homiletics there. And I'd go up there, and he'd say, "I want you to teach my class." I said, "I don't know anything about homiletics." He said, "Do it anyway." But Brother Wade Jernigan went back to where him and Nettie Lou were married, and it had been many years ago. Wade's going to be with the Lord now. And the church had gone down there in Lexington, Oklahoma. And he started the church back, had me there for revival. And the song leader was Dr. Darwin Kelton, who used to be his man at the college with the music and all. He was the music leader. And they sung a song, and that song went something like, "I'm building a bridge." And you don't hear it much now. How many of you heard that song, "I'm building a bridge"? I tell you, if I could sing, I'd sing that song, amen. "I'm building a bridge." And the Lord began to deal with my heart the other day about it. Brother Billy told me last year he wanted me to preach on Wednesday night. And I didn't know what to preach. Y'all heard about everything I preached, my sugar sticks, and I couldn't preach one of them, amen, unless the Lord let me. But I want to preach to you tonight about the great bridge builder. God is a great bridge builder. Before I preach, though, if I keep moving around like this, I jumped off of the tailgate of my truck about 6 weeks ago, and I messed up a disc in my back, and I'm supposed to have a epidermal. I thought that was for women, you know, when having babies. But now I got to have an epidermal, and they're going to put some stuff in and try to cement that disc back together Monday. And I've been in a lot of pain, and I just not myself, but I'm going to preach anyway, amen. Just preach on. I got a little poem I want to share with you, and then I'm going to preach the message. The bridge builder. An old man traveling a lone highway came in the evening cold and gray to a chasm deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, for the sullen stream held no fear for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," cried a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day, and never again will you pass this way. You've crossed a chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide?" And the builder raised his old gray head. "Good friend, on the path I've come," he said, "there falleth after me today a youth whose feet will pass this way. This stream which has been as naught to me to that fair-haired boy may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. I thought about Brother Billy. He reminds me in some ways. Brother Billy came here and he started building bridges. Started sending preachers out everywhere. Amen. You know, that's my problem. I get him in there and they call to preach and then I'm left. I got to start all over again. But Brother Billy has been building bridges. Isn't it wonderful to see God bless a man's ministry and preachers go out here and yonder and everywhere? And I want to speak to you tonight about the bridge builder. I want to use two verses. The first is in Psalms 106. Psalms 106 and verse 23. Now the setting here is the story of Israel's rebellion. After God had brought Israel out of Egypt, many miracles, here Israel has rebelled against him. And there in verse 31 of Psalm 106, it says, They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things for them in Egypt. You know, the Bible said, beware lest I forget the Lord. Amen. It said they forgot the God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. And then verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he should destroy them. Now, Moses was a bridge builder. If him and God ever got together, nobody would be left but him and God. Amen. But he builded a bridge for them people. And then in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, and I found none. You know, the Bible said the wicked in all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And America is on that road tonight. We need some preachers and Christians to stand in the breach. God is looking for people tonight. They'll stand in. Our country is on a downward spiral right now. The wicked in all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And when I think of that, I sought for a man among them to just make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found that I don't want to see God destroy America. But we're on that way tonight. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'll help us tonight. I pray for that anointing, Lord, because without that we can do nothing. I pray the entrance of your Word would give light and understanding tonight. And I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, might be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, first of all, God is a great bridge builder. I mean, he's the great engineer of the bridge of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Man's sin had separated man and God. Romans 5:12 said, wherefore, by one man sin entered the world, and death for sin, death passed upon all men for all his sin. Through Adam, sin and death came into the world, and man became alienated and separated from God. And then God began building a bridge. God began building a bridge. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it said, he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. He bridged the gap between God and man. God was in Christ reconciling the world and himself. The Bible said, for once in the end of the world hath he appeared. Why? To put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then in Revelation 1:5, and I like those songs about the blood tonight, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's still the blood, folks. Amen. Still the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and God has given us his blood upon the altar as an atonement for the soul. Now, he is a great bridge builder that souls can cross and come to God. Jesus is. He's the great big bridge builder. And when I say that, Acts 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And many have crossed the bridge, come to God, and found peace. Amen. Thank God for that peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think of that, Jesus is the great bridge that bridged the gap between man and God. God was in Christ reconciling the world himself. He was God. He was man. He was divine. He was human. He could be allied with God and man and bring God and man back together. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God is a great engineer of the bridge of salvation. Jesus Christ is that bridge, that gap between God and man, And the Holy Spirit is a bridge that brings us from sin to the Savior. I mean, he convicts us. Amen. There'll never be any conversion without conviction. There's got to be a conviction before there'll be conversion. And not, you know, I remember Brother Mays told me one time about this fellow who was real hard, couldn't do nothing with him. And he was real hard and stubborn and everything. But one night he got a phone call real late. And the fellow on the other end, he couldn't understand what he was saying. He's crying and sobbing and all that. And finally he realized who it was. And he said, get him good, get him good, get him good, get him good. Amen. You get on the Holy Ghost conviction, something's going to happen. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is the one. He came to reprove of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He came, he's doing his work tonight. He's still convicting and converting. Amen. And when I say that, I thought about it this morning when Brother Tom was teaching about being filled up. You know, he fills us up too. Amen. When I say he fills us up, I thought that scripture in Romans 15, verse 13. He's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we might be able to comfort them in any trouble. He's the God of mercies. He fills us with the Holy Spirit, and thank God for that. And when I say that, Ephesians 5:18, it said, be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I like what Brother Tom said this morning, too, about his having that experience with the Lord. You know, in Luke 11:13, it said, if you being evil, not to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Amen. I asked and asked and asked and asked. And I tell you, I want to get under that fountain where the glory comes out, the spout where the glory comes out. And if you don't want it, just get over and let me get your part too. Amen. Amen. Speaking of one of those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the work. He came to reprove of sin, righteous living, judgment to come. Thank God for that. And the church is a bridge in this world that keeps people from falling into hell and carries them to heaven. Now, I'm a church man. Amen. I believe everybody that's saved ought to be a member of a Bible-believing church. Amen. I think you ought to do your work through a Bible-believing church, your tithes, your offerings, your work. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church, and we are the church. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ if we are born again. We need to be faithful to the church because the church is the bridge of salvation to lost people. Amen. I mean, the church is a bridge to the whole world. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. He said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And God has called us. I think many times about John chapter 20, where Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, and he sent him to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible said that. The Son of Man come to seek and save that which was lost. And that, we need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. Amen. And breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And as Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, that ought to be one thing primary in our life. Amen. I mean, getting folks saved. I love to shout and praise the Lord, and I like all the good things of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I get convicted about not winning more souls. Amen, don't you? He that winneth souls is wise. And I tell you, soul winning is guaranteed. I heard old Dr. John Rice say many years ago, he's going to preach on guaranteed salvation. Guaranteed to get people saved. And I thought, well, I want to see what this is. He quoted Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing a precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing seed with him. And I believe if we'll sow the seed, the word of God, being born again, then corrupt seed, the word of God. I believe if we'll sow the seed, the word of God, he that goeth forth weeping, compassion, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his seed with him. I tell you, you may not get everybody saved, but somebody's going to get saved, because God's guaranteed it. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I hadn't won a soul. I want to win a soul. Well, just keep on sowing the seed and have compassion. Amen. Have compassion. And then the Christians are God's bridges between sinners and God. We are God's bridges between sinners and God. What would have happened to this community, this church, if God had never sent Billy Cashwell here? Huh? Huh? Look at all the bridges that's been built. Look at the preachers that's gone out. Look at the work that God has done. And God does it through his man and through his friend. By the way, God's always worked through a man. Amen. Whether it was Moses or Billy Cashwell or whoever it was. And we Christians, we can bridge the gap between God and lost sinners by loving sinners as Jesus loved them. Well, if we love sinners like Jesus loved them. I tell you, by loving sinners like Jesus did, I'm thinking about William Booth. I've got a sermon I preach on others. William Booth, him and his wife, they built the Salvation Army, and they got many people saved, drunkards and drug addicts and so forth. And when he was old, in his old age, and they were having an international convention, the speaker got up and said, "Brother Booth is not able to be with us on account of his health." I think he was about blind then too, but said he sent us a telegram. And he was going to read, the moderator was going to read that telegram to the whole international gathering there. He opened it up and it said one word, "Others." You know, I thought about that song, "Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that may live like me. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayers will be for others." I'll tell you, there's enough people here tonight, you can build a lot of bridges. Amen. You can get a lot of souls saved. "Others, Lord, yes, Lord, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like me." I'll tell you, God wants us to win sinners. Amen. I mean, you know, if you'll start doing like that little chorus we used to sing many years ago about "lay some soul upon my heart today." If you'll start saying, "Lord, now I'm going to come into contact with people today. And Lord, if you were here on this earth and the person you'd come across that you could help, Lord, let me be that person. Work through me that I can witness to them and help him." Amen. Let him know that he that converts the sinner from the earth's ways shall save a soul from death. Talking about second death, lake of fire, and hide and multitude of sin. Isn't that wonderful? The greatest joy outside of being saved yourself is to know that God has used you. Amen. That somebody else has crossed that bridge. A bridge builder. Bridge builder. Amen. I tell you, thank God for that. You can bridge the gap between God and some poor sinner by suffering patiently like Job did too. "He knoweth the way that I take. When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And the Bible said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which will try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as we're part of his sufferings." You know, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you listen to that junk on television that tells you that you're going to have that two-car garage and all those other things, and God wants you. And don't listen to that crowd that's crazy that tells you if you had faith that you'd be healed. Listen, I have faith, and God's been, some of the greatest people I've known have been people. Well, think of Fanny Crosby. Look at your songbook. See how many songs in there and what she went through and her blindness in her life and all the songs she wrote. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is still in the healing business, and I believe the book. In our church, I keep a bottle of oil on the pulpit. The Bible said, "Let him know the Bible said, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray the prayer of faith, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up." I had a professor told me one time, said, "That's talking about medicine." I said, "It's talking about Holy Ghost too." Amen. 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 I tell you, if I'm sick, my church, or I didn't have to ask them, anoint me. Some of my men got together, so let's pray for our preacher. They anointed me. And I tell you, God may heal me through this epidural thing. I still think that when the doctor surprised me, I don't know what to say. My mouth fell open. I said, "Well, I was with my middle daughter there when her boy was born, and that's what they did to her." Anyway, I'm going to get one. They're going to put semen in there and semen back together. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But anyway, getting back to the message, you know, suffering patiently. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says here, "There hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful." Aren't you glad God's faithful? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape and be bear it. You know, have you ever come to those little blacktop roads and see those signs of those bridges, so many thousand pounds? That bridge will hold that many thousand pounds. I'm glad God knows my load limit. He's not going to overload me. God knows your load limit. He's not going to overload you. I'll tell you, some of us can carry a load bigger than others, and some of them can't carry much of a load. But God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above you able, but will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It said, "There is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Boy, that's wonderful. I thank God. I tell you that he knows my load limit. All of us have a load limit. We don't all have the same load limit, but God won't overload you, Brother Billy. I tell you, I believe God got glory out of his suffering, don't you? I believe that Billy's a stronger preacher through that. Amen. You say, preacher, you might know much about something. I passed 18 kidney stones. You ask my wife. Extracted two, give me a spinal. I had triple bypass heart surgery in June of 91. And some of the preachers that came to see me walked across the parking lot. One of them told me later, they said, well, Bobby, Brother Bobby will never go anymore. Well, like he'd been, but I went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And all three of them are with the Lord tonight. You know, God gave me a promise. God gave me a promise. I got a 911. Proverbs 9:11. He said, for by me thy days shall be multiplied and the years of the life shall be increased. I ain't going nowhere God gets ready for me to go. Amen. He's increased my days and my years. Amen. Can't claim that promise. Amen. I believe if you want to serve God and win souls, I believe he'll lengthen your days, don't you? Amen. Well, I tell you, you might shudder to see that load coming. Billy, you ever have something coming, you just shudder. You know what's coming. But God won't overload you. God's grace is sufficient. He's a Father of mercies, a God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. We might be able to comfort them in any trouble by the comfort we ourselves are comforted. We go through things, Billy, so we can comfort others. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, God knows our load limit. Whether it's surgery or cancer, whatever it might be, trials, God knows our load limit. You can bridge that gap between God and some poor sinner. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, this gets to me. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Let me tell you something. You need to get down where people live at and on their level for them to be able to understand you. Amen. We preachers need to, you know, we need to be pliable, don't we? I mean, a lot of preachers, and Christians too, they look at them and they don't relate to them. He said here, to the weak, I became as weak. Everybody don't have the same education you do. They don't have the same abilities you do. You've got to get down to where they're at. You've got to identify with them. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak, that I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Isn't that wonderful? And this I do high for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Amen. I'll tell you, you can bridge that gap between God and some poor sinner by serving God like Paul did. Everybody in here, you've got somebody that you can win that I can't win. There's somebody God's got waiting for you. He that winneth souls is wise. Let him know that he that converts a sinner from every way shall save a soul from death. Hide multitude of sins. They that be wise shall shine as a bright in the sight of the firmament. They shall turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So winneth reward. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, rejoice and bring any seeds. It's guaranteed, folks. If you have compassion, you have love, and you have a concern for them. Let me read this poem again, then I'm going to be through. An old man traveling a lone highway came in the evening cold and gray to a chasm deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim, for the solemn stream held no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength. Don't the devil tell you that? You're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep in my mind. Thank God he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the mire clay, set my feet upon a rock, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear it and shall trust in the Lord. I mean, you've crossed that chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at heated tide? And the builder raised his old gray head. Good friend, on the path I've come, he said, there's Paulus asked me today, a youth whose feet will pass this way. This stream which has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired boy may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. I was thinking about Dr. Lee Robinson. He had a lot of influence on me in my life. I heard Dr. Lee Robinson preach on bloody hands. Ezekiel chapter 3 and chapter 33. To warn the wicked of the way, the blood be required of thy hands. Yes, you know, don't you go to the funeral home and look at that body. Or don't you wait. I'm talking about your family, your children, your relatives, people you rub shoulders with. Don't wait. And so I wish I did it. You witness now. Before you witness, you get on your knees and like Brother was talking about this morning about getting on your face. You get on your face before God and you get a burden. And God, the Holy Ghost working on you. The Holy Ghost is working over there. He'll put things together. Amen. Every one of you, I pray tonight that you'll be encouraged to be a soul winner. To Brother Tadlock there in February, working with all the people he does with. And he has an interracial church, and he's a soul winner. He's a soul winner. And boy, I tell you, we all need to be that way. Either when it's, and I quit reverend, brother. Come on, Brother Billy. Amen. I encourage you to be a bridge builder. Amen. God bless you, Billy.